Hi, this is Roger Tostes, Director of Ernie of RI of. I apologize for the delay. We had a little bit of a technical issue with the platform. Now, we're going to have the presentation, but done by Eduardo Parente. And you can see our presentation in the RI Investor Relations website of Widex. And we have the simultaneous translation into English. So, Eduardo and Rayana will share the pauses to facilitate the work of the translator. Now, during the conference, you can type *02. This conference these are predictions about future events that the company do not take responsibility for any issues that might take and any changes that might happen in the market. The predictions are solely done at the date of the call, and they're merely predictions. Now I give the word to Eduardo Parente to start the presentation. Hi, Tostes. Thank you very much. Good morning. Thank you for being with us in this morning. Hope that everybody is healthy. So I wanted to start our presentation by saying, this is the earnings call, and you can see the opening remarks here on page 3. First, we made a lot of decisions in the past, and we were a little bit concerned that maybe we were too conservative, and that conservatism is now paying off. The first one that we look in the accounting context, the payment of the installments, the self-pay is one of the alternatives. And many people embraced that idea with caution. And it's been about a year that now that represents about 1% of our basis. And any student that leaves, that starts, we have 5% provision for them. No, our financing sources, they're always talking to us, spin off, follow-ons, and eventually in the future, we might consider that. But if it's said, this is going to be a very clear project and a very adequate one. We are very trustworthy and we know about our value and the growth, and we want to pass that on to our shareholders. And we are working at the limit to finance our projects. Third point, it's the expansion itself. Now, we had dozens of opportunities. We had 3 big ones over the past few months. And that M&A, we actually have only a few of these options. We can count them in the fingers of our hand. We're very cautious on the M&A, and we're trying to make the correct decisions. As a consequence, the cash generation for the quarter has grown. Now, whenever we talk in the call or whatever interaction we have with you in the future, we talk about the 3 bases for the growth of the M&A. They're cheap because M&A in the end is here predicted in the expansion, while medicine is the most of the expansion that we're doing that we have done recently. We have done a few premium acquisitions. And now we have had a lot of results. We are looking at the distance learning is growing, and both models are growing. And M&A, we did 6 acquisitions with the EBITDA of 4 or 5. The net EBITDA over EBITDA is at 4 or 5. And when we looked we have a very big year for 2021. And we consider that this is the year that we will finally start to accelerate. The issue of the post-VAs will be done. And when we had the crisis of the COVID-19, well, first we were worried about the safety of our employees, our students, of course, and everybody involved in the operation. But once that is passed, the big concern is that 2021, we will accelerate our speed, and we have to start from the inception. Or the concern is, while we had the pandemic situation, we have to preserve our base, our student base, decrease the dropout, and maintain the financial results. So once we leave this crisis, we have an absolute and relative position in this sector that is ever stronger, and this is what we could achieve. Therefore, the base has grown, the dropout much better than the scenario at the beginning of the quarantine with a cash. Well, the almost 2 billion in cash, the net debt is controlled, and cash generation very strong in the quarter. Now, we have 250 million in recurrent values, COVID and non-COVID. And when we look at the core of the business, and looking up ahead, we have a revenue that is increasing 11% and a variation of 5% year on year on the adjusted EBITDA, even though we had a drop with the FIES. When we look at the post-FIES and post-COVID, the numbers are still encouraging. We are doing readjustments. Of course, we are also taking into account hygiene, washing hands, everybody is taking care. There are some good things. There are some things that need adjustments. We have students and teachers that are getting used to the digital world, the distance learning, the remote learning, let's just say. And everybody wants to maintain their networking, get to know maybe a significant other. And in terms of on-site, these are people that still want the on-site experience. Now, the on-site, of course, because of a legislation issue, it's done exclusively now remotely. This is what the legislation allows. And we have much more comfort to expand this and to bring this in a more welcoming, didactic, a better experience for a student. So let's talk about that up ahead. Now, our investment in digital learning has brought excellent results. Now, the M&As are still on the agenda, as it was mentioned, and they will continue with our plans. We also have the possibility of inorganic growth if there is an attractive option. Now, let's go to page 5, please. You can see the graphs. Let's talk about the 3 levers of growth. Page 5. We start with the distance learning, digital learning. We have a strong growth in the base of the student base, you can see here. Therefore, the important thing, you can see the net revenue that the distance learning or digital learning. And on the left at the bottom in the graph, we have a strong expansion of DL centers. This is one of our strengths. Our business model requires a low investment. And once again, basically everything else is variable costs. Therefore, when we look at the number of DL centers, 1,200, we consider that this represents a growth in the student base that you can see up ahead, 53%. Now, during the pandemic, we opened over 100 DL centers. This is a very strong moment in the quarantine. We have all the content of our brand. We are producing the content with different brands. We are working with the second semester very well. We are launching the brand Unifanner. We have the traditional digital learning that you know. We bring new futures for these courses as meeting with a tutor, with a professor. Therefore, we can bring a higher ticket for this cost. And IB Mac, well, we do not have distance digital learning, but there is a big advancement in MBAs that had the tradition, and we are advancing into digital learning. Let's go to page 6, please. Second lever of growth. Let's talk about medicine. Now, on the left, in the graph, you can see the growth of the student base. And we have the growth, the maturation, actually, of our student base with authorizations from the government. Here, you can see in darker, there is the expenses for the acquisition, the slots, and we have in the second quarter of 2020, the entry of Teresina, that's the unit of Adtalem in the state of Piauí. Now, on the left, on the graph, you can see the total growth of revenue in 35%, even though we had to provide discounts, and this represents 11% of the total revenue. You can see 114. Now, you have to understand this table very well. On the left, in blue, we have today's reality. So when you look at the first line, Presidente Vargas in Rio de Janeiro, we have the authority, so our student base, 1,500. Now, when we go to Jaraguá do Sul, SC, it's very clear that we have 50 authorized seats and 114 students. Well, we have a course that still has a lot to grow. So the space at its maturity of its seats, we can see the authorized seats and the full potential 150. You can see on the right on the graph. In gray, we're still under development, and we start to capture the students at each of these courses. Our prediction on the right is the potential, the full potential for expansion of authorizations that were given by the government. We have a tradition of success. Juazeiro do Norte, we have 150, sorry, Juazeiro only, not Juazeiro do Norte, 155 seats. And this shows in this table, these 15 units, is that we can extend 3 times our current student base simply by doing CAPEX and working to have the government issued authorizations. We don't have here the 3 units that we have another 300 seats. Today, at the official government publication, Diario Oficial, we have another 50 seats authorized. So this number of 16,000 will be higher if we continue to update our numbers. But we have the good numbers, the extra 50 seats that were authorized by the government. Let's go to our third lever of growth, page 7. We have 3 successful operations, as I mentioned, over the last 9 months. We can see 30. We saw 30, 40 opportunities altogether, and we analyzed them all. Now, in the 3 that we paid less than what was negotiated at the time. And in the 3, we know that with the synergies, we have only a fraction of our multiple in the EV over EBITDA of the deal. So 100% concluded with Unitoledo, Adtalem very well. We had the quarantine and we had 15 people at McKinsey helping us in the identification of 101 to the opportunities that are being presented now. And Athena's, which is more recent, we are going at a higher speed than the previous one. But also, we have to take into consideration our capacity to bring digital learning to Athena's. Now, we are capturing 40% higher than the previous month. These are the three levers for success. And let me go into the details on page 8. I think this is our biggest acquisition at Talem. And we announced 80 million reais of subsidies we had in our map. A number that was reasonably higher, but being conservative, we decided to announce only what we were certain. Now, we have mapped initiatives to get to 170, 200 million on the short term, 2024 FY estimated, and we are talking 60, 70% of costs, 30, 40% in revenue, and the plan is to get at the end of the year with a third of that value captured. Please, let's go to page 9. In the context that we have in the pandemic, during the quarantine, the focus is the focus in the student-based expansion and maintaining our financial robustness. We have today in this quarter, we have the biggest on-campus on-site, number of students in Brazil. We can see here the number 753,000 students. If we didn't have the numbers of at Talem, we would have to reduce 14% this quarter versus the quarter of 19. On the right, on the graph, we have our dropout rate per semester. The students leave in two times. We call it a dropout. During the semester, we call it a dropout. At the renewal time, when they do not renew, we call it non-renewal. This would be a good number, but we have to see the reality that the renewal at the beginning of the year plus the dropout is, we want to show you the clear numbers. The dropout rate of the people that leave the course through the semester, that number has increased a little bit on the on-campus, but it dropped in the digital learning. We have the new technologies in digital learning, of course, and that decreased the dropouts in the intake and renewals. No, in the on-campus, the dropout grew up just a little bit in comparison to what we expected and in comparison to what we see in the other higher education institutions. We can work with discounts. We can also, there is a strong issue with quality. We have good quality in our operation, and we have satisfaction in at least 94% of our student base. And the 76% real-time presence confirms that, with more than 80% having a synchronous presence, watching the recorded classes. The other side of preserving our financial solidity, once again, we have the reduction of the CS student base. This is always a source of worsening our revenues. We are at page 10, please. They told me to speak a little bit slower. The CS base today represents, the old CS, it represents 8% of our on-site. And we have the total base of the students. This is the last year that we have a big impact. And on the right, we can see the evolution, something that we have. We are very proud here. And I've mentioned being conservative before. on how much cash we're expecting. Well, before, and when we look at what we generated over the last 6 months, we generated 21% more than the last year. We also have an impact in the indebtedness. It grew to, and we have 1.9 billion in cash position. Now, page 11, this is something that we've been working for a long time. But because of a strategic commercial issue and also being conservative, we want to talk about these things that are certain. We talked very little about our teaching system. Now, on the left, there is the teaching system itself that we started in the first semester of last year. Looking at the undergraduate digital base, we understand that we have a better format for the market. Easy, they speak the language of the students with text, research, questionnaires. We go back to the course. So this is a way that is very didactic, very easy to engage. And today we understand that this is a scale where we can do a substantial increase in the content. When you bring a high standard teaching to the digital learning, you are diluting that into a big set. So it's been 1 year and a half that all of our digital learning has the teachers in different disciplines. And this is one of the reasons that we considered strongly here bringing at Talem, and we have the people that can help us use the digital tools to elevate the standard of the classes. This is our dream. This is our project in 2020. Just so you know, we have over 350 disciplines produced in this format in CNEME. 56% of freshmen, well, they leave with 100% of the content, with this high level content in CNEME. And we think that this will bring a big impact in the digital learning. You can use this at any brand. It's not branded. We have it today at Estácio, Unifanare, Unitoledo. And when we don't use all the brands, we have the capacity in the first day, and we can optimize the cost on operations and also salaries and et cetera. Well, this is the first step, and this is a reality, and we will go over 70%. And we innovated. We had the courage. And we want to bring this to the on-site world. Well, the Stasio student, the analogic level is not a reality. The analogic world is not a reality that he lived. And we are doing a very strong pilot with this teaching content using the digital learning that will substitute the analogic learning in the classes. When we go to the pilot classes, the students have more ease. A lot of them have iPads, have cell phones, have tablets, and they can go and see the podcast, see the video, see the content, and the level of preparedness that the student arrives is completely different than what we used and when we use the analogic teaching system. So now we are taking that, we're substituting the books by the materials that, well, for the on-site students as well, the same materials that we use with the digital learning. The class, it's more centered in the teacher organizing the interaction of the students based on what they did before. And we really did a deep dive in this. 340,000 students, we had 80,000 students studying in this reality in the aura. And this has transformed all the disciplines in the digital world and on site. There will be a part, therefore, that the student will have to sit by themselves and then go and work with a student, with a teacher. We have thousands, 50,000 students that have the on-site and digital learning, and we can get to the limit of 40% online with a very big improvement in the experience and the didactic of the student that we have here in our teaching system. Another benefit of that is that this stabilizes the number of credits, and the big concern of NPS, which is the adjustment of the monthly fees per month for the students. I'm going to change to page 13, the non-recurring events in the quarter. So we have a lot of actions. The actions that we face with COVID-19. First one, Estácio com você, or Estácio with you, or Widen with you, Widen com você in Portuguese. We understood that from the standpoint of social responsibility and also to preserve our student base, giving a discount is not the most important thing. It's not the most important thing, because if you lost your job, you're not going to pay 80%. So we wanted to be very aggressive and hear the story of each student. The result of that is that we benefited 31,000 students in a very emphatic and personal way. We had 29,000 fully exempt monthly tuition fees, and 94% of the beneficiaries come from a household that has income below 3,000 reais a month. We understand that this is the right thing to do, helping everybody that needs, and this is also good for the business. And we are working to retain loyalty at a moment that people have difficulties. Another thing that is important, and I would be, we have a big financial robustness, but by saying that, and reducing the salary of our team, that wouldn't make sense, and we haven't done that. We maintain the full salaries of all employees, therefore we commit to the team. And even the ones that the government helped, we worked so people didn't have to wait for the government. We never stopped keeping the salaries in full. Once again, the teachers all kept their times, their working hours during the semester, and we have a great pride in that. We are doing the advocacy of the units and also the hygiene and air conditioning systems. We are working with Magalu, Oi, TIM, Vivo to help the students that didn't have good internet. And these are 5,000 students that were benefited so that people can actually have access to the content. And we have had a big effort of a lot of people and our 15,000 employees to make this work. Of course, this has a cost, and I will go to Renato and he will detail the cost. Thank you, Valente. So good morning. Let's go to slide 14. Let's talk about numbers. Basically, in the quarter, we had an impact of 250 million, the impact on the EBITDA in the second quarter. And I will go line by line to explain. The first one is in the revenue, which is related to the program that Valente mentioned, with Estácio com você, Widen with com você, and also with the discount. And by the laws and court decisions, that reduced our revenue in 67.5 million reais. It's important to mention that we are very conservative. We could have adopted a practice of launching the full invoice, and with that, the reported EBITDA and the financial results would be higher. And but being conservative as we are, we think that it's more prudent to show this discount that is impacting our results and obviously reducing the turnover, the cash flow. Now, another point, 67.5 million, it does not include other impacts that certainly we did have in capturing the students, especially in the on-site distance learning. We already commented that it grew, it suffered less, as I said, but on-site, we also had suffering, but also, in the retention of students, we had direct impacts. Second line costs. We are reporting here the benefits that we have in the non-recurrent, such as the MP936, the negotiation with providers. We had some help in that sense of 14 million in the quarter, in the semester. But we have to mention what we commented in the slide, in the previous slide. It could have been higher, but since Parente mentioned, we think that it's better to keep the full salaries of our collaborators, and that has brought in a cost. Nonetheless, we understand that this is the correct thing. Now, third line, commercial. We have, we can see these provisions on the right, but one is the provision from the past PIS, and the other one that talks about the conservative of our conservative numbers. In the PIS, we are in comparison to 2018 and back, and 2019 being a part of that. I'm just gonna comment this very quickly. Basically, we have today a part of this value that would probably be charged in the future, apart from the student pods, apart from the government. We understand that the moment is not right now to do this, and as time goes by, the probability decreases. Since we have an uncertain time in the economy, and we don't know how it's going to behave, we are going to provision this amount. In the case of COVID, if we are going to follow our policy of provisioning for TBD, you would probably just see the result of the financial results in the fourth quarter. Now, here we are more conservative once again. What have we done? We compared with the days in the second quarter of 2019, but in the second quarter of 2020, and an increase of invoicing, we provisioned it. That's why there was very little increase if you look at our balance sheet. And this is, we had the incorporation of Stagma, and there is no growth that is relative. And the fourth line, talking about the contingencies. We launched an additional contingency of 54 million. It's important to mention that this is not for the quarter. It's related to older causes, and this is a work that we've done in the company for over a year. Well, not only taking into account our strategic processes, but also best practices on how should we proceed up ahead. Well, to negotiate, to get to know the contingencies. We also have help, and we will continue to have the help from Nemini Consulting. But this is a small chunk of the investment, but it's important to mention that these are the expenses. The last item, you are used to seeing it. Well, once again, the M&A are very point operations. Now, slide 16 in revenue. The net revenues adjusted here, 11% in comparison to the previous year, 67.5 is non-recurrent. Well, a little bit, part of that is because of the scholarships, and yet ones were discounted. Discounts granted due to laws and decisions of the court. And another point that is very interesting, we have our three levers for growth. We incessantly talk about them every quarter, which is distance learning, medicine, and M&A. If you add the incremental revenue of these three items, 61 million, 123 million with that column, you will see that it was a double of the drop in the CIS. So we can see here there was the drop in the CIS went 103, but there was a growth of over 200 in the revenue. And we would have grown our revenue 13%, and distance learning would have added 44%, and medicine 35%. Now, slide 17, and a part of the evolution of costs and expenses. We have the inclusion of the incorporation of Adtalem for 2 months. And these effects, non-recurring effects that are documented here they are documented on slide 14. The main point is there is a seasonality that happened in the costs. It's not an increment itself that is very relevant. In the part of PDD, of course, as you reduce the revenue of CIS, you will incorporate new revenues. And in the end, which is the part of cost of services, here is the operational numbers that are improving. On slide 18, there is a growth of 11% in the revenue of that Adtalem with 20% of the cost, and it resulted in a reduction of 5% in the EBITDA, where the reported EBITDA is 111 million, where the adjustments are 327 million reais. As I commented, since we are very conservative in the way that we report things, we recognize the discount by the laws, and we will anticipate potential PDs in the third and fourth quarter. If it wasn't for that, the total amount would have been less. Now, the main point in the slide is the graph on the right, which is the operation cash flow before CapEx, which it grew almost 50% year by year, year on year. Now I give back the word to Eduardo Parent. Thank you. Thank you, Hayano. Now, looking up ahead, we are very trustworthy that our position here in the market is becoming ever stronger. Our capacity to give answers on the short term, the base is growing. The cash flow is growing year on year. The levers of growth are all here. They are unchanged. Digital learning growing 44% with a lot of discipline with every M&A that we do. And the perspective for the future is that in the first week of classes, we have people live. Well, our record was 79% of people that were in real-time attendance in the first week of classes, and in the second week, 79%, in the first week, 72. We have the renewal of the on-campus and digital learnings, and the units of learning that we have. We also have a very natural growth, very cheap growth, and we have a very comfortable position. Second quarter, the big factor that impacts the second quarter is the renewal. We have 70% of the FAF concluded, and it's 90% above the FIS with the re-enrollment on campus. in comparison to the second quarter of 2019. And in digital learning, we had renewals at, 50% more in comparison to the second quarter of 2019. This leads us to believe that the worst is past, and now we can restart our growth plan, and we will grow strongly next year, thanks to all the measures that we've taken into account. Thank you very much. Now we will go through the Q&A. Ladies and gentlemen, please, we will start the Q&A. Should you have any questions, please type *9. To remove the question, type *9 once again. Please, wait for a few moments while we compile the questions. First question from Mr. Samuel from BTG Pactual. Good morning. I am applauding everyone. Two questions in the same theme in this initiative of the scholarships and discounts and laws and court decisions. If you can talk about the resilience of the student base to avoid the dropouts, how the students were benefited. Is this base still in the company? A second question, if you can do a breakdown of what was the scholarship, what was the discount. That's it. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. I hope that you're doing well. Well, I thought that it was very nice that you perceive the impact of this initiative. Yes, in the end, we're working with education and we want to understand the situation of each student. And this is a valuable thing to us. There is the issue of preserving the student base, and we can classify our students using artificial intelligence to do so. And this takes into consideration their payment history, their presence, etc. All of our students, and it's in the app of the teachers, you know what is a student that is red, yellow, or green. The teachers work with that. We have a comparable base of students that, of course, some of the red ones have more of a propensity for the dropouts, some have difficulty in the pace. And we could compare them exactly. This is not an estimate. It's the student estudiante con você versus the student in the same profile that is not in the program estudiante con você. The difference is 30 percentage points in renewal of the students that are in the estudiante con você program. Now, second question. The distribution of the 67.5 million. A third is scholarship, two-thirds discounts. Perfect, thank you. Next question from Susana Salaru from Itaú Bank. Hi. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Parente. We have two questions here. First, about the receivables. Looking at the head, how is this evolving, and is it the same? And also in the margins, first question. And second question, regarding the previous question, when you say it's a third or two-thirds of the scholarship, that third of the scholarship is restricted to the quarter, or is it a scholarship that is higher? What is the time frame of these scholarships? Thank you. Susana, hope that you're doing well as well. I'm going to start with the second one, and then I will give to Rayana to answer the first one. The program was basically everything, 90%, within the quarter that you're perceiving. Now, we do not see today the regrowth, but this is a lever that was exceptionally efficient, and we can consider this maybe as an extension for the semester. We are still analyzing, so it doesn't, everybody's going back, it doesn't make sense to continue this. The feeling of the big volume of Rio de Janeiro and Ceará, the states where the situation is improving and the worst is past, and we won't have to go back to that. But this is a lever that we have in hand. Hi, Susana. In regards to the receivables, I could give you an answer that is very positive and say that is much better, but it would be wrong to affirm with 100% certainty that at the beginning of each semester, the numbers are better because now we have the renewal. Our invoicing is low during the renewal period. And this is what you, in fact, negotiate any delays to renew, because if you have indebtedness, you are, we've improved since June, since the end of last quarter, but it's still early to affirm what is the degree of improvement. But certainly the cash is better. Thank you very much. Next question, Mr. Marcelo Santos, JP Morgan. Good morning, everyone. First question, two questions. First, comment a little bit on what you see the on-site transforming on post-COVID. How dramatic is the change in behavior of the students with the different types of courses? What can you tell us in the context of this semester? Second question, talking a little bit about the teaching system, the classes, do you see a potential for selling abroad this model? Can you imagine this maybe working, this happening in cities that you do not work currently? Can you expand on that? Thank you, Marcelo. Marcelo, I think that we have, once again, going back to the lever of being conservative, we have our units full. If we had profiled more, if we had our numbers lower, we would do a drastic change. It's very relevant for the footprint, and you have to offer an option for the students. And definitely this is not the case. As I mentioned before, we believe that there's going to be social distancing in the on-site units, but we don't see any relevant changes in the demand for the on-site. I think that Aura is a very intelligent way, without false modesty, that we implemented to integrate much better the on-site with the digital learning. So we have the students 3 days at home, 2 days on-site. Well, in the end, we have a one-stop shop. And not only that, improves the didactic, the experience. It improves the perception of the student. This is the relevant change. And now they will have the teacher, but the teacher will still have to work with the student, and the student will have to do a lot of homework. And once again, we know what is the, who is the student that watched the video and did not watch the video. You can ask, you can see who, those that participate. It changes the experiences from both sides, the on-campus and the digital learning experience. In regards to selling, well, we're doing a very small pilot to try and understand how that could possibly unfold. But this is so far away that it would be irresponsible to talk about this and generate any expectation in that sense. We had in the higher education, in decade 12, we have much less participation. The market, for you to earn money in the teaching system, you necessarily have to leave your universe. Since we have a relevant share in the higher education, we believe that it will generate a lot of value in-house, and there is a big competitive differential. So we believe that this is important. It generates a lot of value. It generates a lot of growth, but it's still very early to consider any business of, well, expanding that outside of our home. Well, can you comment? You were talking about the renewal, but what about the intake? Thank you, Marcelo. No. Well, the intake is a little bit delayed. The student is looking at the future, at how things are going to unfold, where they're going. The distance learning, digital learning is growing much higher than the on-campus. We don't have 50% dropout rate. That doesn't exist. We think that we're going to have an intake that is much like the one in 19, but there's going to be a change in the proportions of the on-campus and digital learning. Perfect. Thank you. Next question. Mr. Thiago Bertolucci from Goldman Sachs. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. We have two questions. First, in regards to PDD. Well, as you explained, CS and COVID. Well, we want to know about the balance. How is the dropout? And do you have a risk for a higher provisioning up ahead? Second one has to do with the digital learning. We have the student base. How will you choose your partners? Is it the academic model, the infrastructure, the geographic position? And depending on this answer, what are the impacts for the profitability in the future? Thank you, Thiago. I'm going to start with the second question with Haroldo. He is our VP of Digital Learning, and then we can answer the first question. Hi, Thiago. Good question. In regards to how do we assure that we are growing, it's within the strategy of using different brands to reaching different publics. We grow, well, before we only used the Estácio brand, and now we have quality products that we already mentioned. We have new brands that are promoting growth. And everything has to do with that. Now, we are commenting a lot on the project that we have, a big project that we want to follow up on the profitability of the DL Center and reducing the cost of the DL Center. And we want to reach the small cities where the competition is lower, and sometimes they don't have distance digital learning opportunities. We have to differentiate the product, the brand, and that's how we respond on the expansion. Thiago, thank you for the question. In regards to, G&A and selling expenses, PDD, well, there is no additional risk. Remember that our provisioning policy is very conservative. As Patricio has mentioned before, PDD, we are provisioning very quickly, and we our base is ever smaller with the PIS, so the impact is almost irrelevant, it's 1% of the base, and the turnover, well, it's very difficult to expect some oscillations in the pattern, in the future. Thank you very much. Next question from Mr. Vinicius Ribeiro from UBS. Good morning. Hope that everybody is doing well. We have two questions, both about Etelem. How do we explain the synergy? Well, you have an excess of being conservative, or do you have some certainties or uncertainties about the levers of growth? Second question about the capturing in Etelem. The question is, does anything change in how Etelem used to work? Is there a different approach? What can we expect in this capture of students for the second semester in the context of Etelem? Thank you, Vinicius. Okay. Excess of being conservative. Well, I wouldn't call it that. We always like to talk about the numbers that we are certain of. We want to be certain of the numbers. Well, these are the 80, and we thought that we had more. When we did the detailed analysis and we could get the numbers very quickly, we thought, okay, the number that we have today is the number that we are certain of. Therefore, this is the evolution. And now the second question. At Talon, to us, it doesn't exist. We have several universes, and when you look at IBMAC is one thing, which is very criterious to actually, we want to increase the power of the brand. We don't want to change things with IBMAC. We are spending more money in marketing, and we're working with to bring different teachers with a better curriculum. So the universe of the old Etelem, there is a big chunk, which is the Widen. Now we don't see it as Widen. Widen has its own reality. And we have the unit of Unifamor. We're bringing it to digital learning that we can work with it as premium in the digital learning. We have 4 units in Ceará. 4 are Estácio. And we don't want to change the brand there. That's why where we have more units that we have Estácio and non-Estácio, we're working with a different position, but we are bringing a lot of technology to capture these students. We have done our homework. Well, we had a big turnaround in the last 3 years. And we say, well, we're going to earn a lot of money. And the success on the pricing of the digital learning tools that capture, well, now we're capturing all the students digitally because of the time online. So we have a lot of technology, and I think that clearly the competition was behind us. And also you have that culture that those of you that work with Estácio for a long time, well, we, even before the IPO, we are generating results. We want to reach our goals. What was Widen has a different experience than what it was a few years ago in terms of capturing new students. Thank you. Next question. Mr. Mauricio Cepeda from Credit Suisse. Good morning. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to ask a question. Well, congratulations for being conservative In fact, what you have invested now is paying off. I wanted to know more about the perspectives, the effects of COVID-19. They've been credited in the short term. Well, COVID should generate an economic crisis that is much more serious up ahead. What have you thought about optimization of costs and that sort of thing that can preserve the company with the decline in the on-site teaching, on-campus teaching in comparison to the digital learning? Second is, well, something that can be perpetuated in the future. There is the discounts, there is the scholarships. I know that you're being very conservative, but is there anything that can be extended on the long term? Thank you, Mauricio. Welcome once again. I'm going to let Adriano start. Just before we start, I digress. I think that we are in the third wave, as we call it. The first one was CS. Then there is a crisis and now COVID. I believe that this will differentiate those in the market that are optimized or not. Some competition, well, they did the work that we've done a few years ago. They're just starting. And I think this is very healthy. And I believe that the lifespan of those who have scalability to produce quality content in the digital world, and if you don't have a student base that is relevant, I think that your life is going to be very difficult if you don't have those two things. So I see the ticket, and I see that we are reaching the limit of what the optimized operation can withhold. But I believe that us and others that are optimized, we have scalability, and we have the chance of having an upside in this new reality that you just mentioned. I'm going to give the word to our VP of Operations about the costs. Hi, Mauricio. Well, the work of optimization is constant in our campi. Well, as another point that Eduardo has mentioned, which is we have an optimization that is higher, not only an increment in the digital learning, but also in the integration of the costs. The same courses with a small number of students, they work in a more integrated way. And we have the indicators that have improving, and they are ever improving throughout the year. The direct impact of that is the cost of teaching. Well, this is our day-to-day, and we imagine that we are going to follow up on that line. Mauricio, in regards to your question, just discount and scholarships, the expectation for the future in terms of discount, well, is it TBD, or that at the end of the day, is it a loss of tickets for the future? Well, I think it's two things. Well, what do you imagine that will happen in the impact for the ticket? No. We do not. Well, what we are doing right now, specifically for the scholarship with Stato Convoce, as Parenti that mentioned, was specific for the people that really suffered a lot during this crisis. And what we are doing for some time is changing the performance. Everything that we mentioned in the digital world in other initiatives to improve the experience of the student is actually growing, and we are improving the retention. We want to improve their presence in the classes. In the end of the day, this is the service that we are providing with quality that assures the sustainability of the business and not negotiate via discount. I don't know if I answered your question, but I believe yes. So you said that you had to do some very specific actions, but they're not going to have a long-term effect. There's not going to be a deterioration in the average ticket. And this is the point of financial, that there, this has a time frame. Yeah, when you look at what we are delivering, the ticket that we charge and the quality that in fact we are producing, we understand that we have the minimum value already that we can practice in the market. Thank you. Thank you for the answers. Congratulations for being conservative. This really makes a difference. If you don't have any more questions, I would like to give the word to Eduardo Parente for the final thoughts. Oh, thank you very much once again. Thank you for hearing us today. And I believe that we managed to be very transparent about the reality of what is going on. I believe that the level and the quality of the questions also reflect on that. Very constructive ideas. Thank you very much. We are very confident with 2021. And we have a perspective for the second semester. And we are at the inception of the regrowth. Thank you very much. The earnings calls of Widex is closed. Thank you for your participation. Have a wonderful day.